You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Good to be with you on a dull Friday morning here in Vancouver.
Yes, we're...
I'm talking about the weather.
Yes. Vancouver is always exciting if you know where to go. Of course, the city now shuts down at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, well,
New Westminster, they roll up the streets at 9 at night.
Right.
Yeah, so. Yes, since COVID, not as much excitement in the city. It's just very normal. But, Bob, what's happening on the markets now? We always talk about how October is the month where you might see major corrections, and yet everything's still going sky high. Or is that just a false prophet kind of thing? Because the Dow is only led by five major stocks.
Yeah. Oh, we play the seasonals, and that going back a year ago in October, November, we were looking for a strong rally out to January. That's a classic. Some great moves have occurred in that window, and then we got to January and figured, oh no, another strong move could go to mid-year. Now, in mid-year, May, June, everything went crazy with these Magnificent Seven, plus some individual stocks that I can't remember the name of. But honestly, it was as straight up and hot action as you can get. And but then you also have another seasonal that stocks can be favorable into September. And then, as you mentioned, if there's going to be a liquidity crisis, it'll likely be discovered in the fall. So, we've got technical excesses on the rally in junk bonds. And if they roll over, that would be one signal. And as you pointed out, a large part of the action is driven by five or six stocks. But then I always keep track of the New York Stock Exchange advanced declines, and they've been quite good. So it's a broad market advance, but the 80 line is now getting overbought. A little more overbought, and that would probably do it for the move. So let's put it this way. The market action has been outstanding. It's run right through September. Hey, that's the way it is. But I think there's a major correction due, and this could appear, in the next couple of months. So,
we'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. What are the headlines that caught your eye today? Insurers are struggling to keep up with disasters like Helene and Milton. Very rare for two major hurricanes to plaster Florida within a 2 or 3 week period.
Yeah, no, that's very hard hits, and the amount of rain they get up valleys and whatnot, and then it all comes charging down into whatever rivers they've got. Yeah, the major damage is done, and that always leaves the insurers, casualty insurers, property insurers, all that sort of stuff. And they then, in order to recoup, they will have to raise their rates, because obviously the risk of carrying insurance, underwriting insurance, has gone up.
Another headline that goes along with that, storms be damned. Florida keeps building in high-risk areas.
Yeah, that boom is continuing. And I looked it up, and there was a tremendous property boom in the 1920s, where a lot of investor speculators all along the East Coast, it became a fad, and some of them were even buying mangrove swamps without realizing it. But anyways, that peaked in 1920, well, it was very strong into 1926, and then it got hit by quite a severe hurricane, and I can't remember the name of it. Maybe it was before they started naming them. Anyways, there was a lot of damage done, and of course, the speculator investors all up the coast, they got hammered. And so in 1926, the point to be made is that it was a hit to the capital markets. There was quite a large loss, and then that made it a little more vulnerable to 1929, when finally the stock market went up and reached its climax in September, early September of 1929, and then it drifted a bit, and then late September and into October, it got pretty hard, hit pretty hard. And it's worth noting, Jim, that there's been six great financial bubbles. Ours is number six. And all five previous ones, they suffered heavy liquidation in the fall, and usually cleared and sorted themselves out in November. But there was one 1825 bubble where in London forced liquidation ran right into early January. So that was quite an exceptional one. And then of course, once the bubble is over, you get a long period of poor economy that you still get the 3 to 4 year business cycle, but the recoveries are weak and the recessions are strong. And we could call it a Great Depression has followed every great financial bubble. So we'll see how it goes.
Now, of course, the population of Florida wouldn't be what it is today without the invention of air conditioning. And I guess we can thank Willis Carrier for that. He invented the electric air conditioner in 1902 because he was working with developing color photographs, and they're very temperature and humidity sensitive. And his boss says, what we need to do is find some way to condition the air so we can develop these photographs.
The number one was to take the humidity out, or to reduce the humidity. That's the conditioner.
Yes.
Okay.
So, and then he started the Carrier Heating and Cooling Company, which is still around today. Mm-hmm. So, without Mr. Willis Carrier, California, Arizona, New Mexico, all those areas that are very hot, there wouldn't have so many people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, something else that was hot, chip making. ASML shares plunge as bookings miss signals chip maker woes.
Yeah. Chip maker woes.
Yeah.
That's W-O-E-S.
Yes. What's going on with our chip makers?
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
It says it.
Yeah.
Bookings miss. And then the next headline is global chip stocks are raised $420 billion. Market cap after ASML sales warning. So that's a double banger there. So, yeah.
Well, this AI mania, AI's been around like for quite some time, but only in the last year or so has it really caught on as, oh my God, I got to invest in AI. Does this remind you of the dot-com bubble of 2000?
It does indeed. Yeah, you got AI, artificial intelligence, it's taken a line away from me because years ago, occasionally I went with one of the market regulators, I'd say that, of course, artificial intelligence is where they take a run-of-the-mill PhD in economics and make them chairman of the Fed, in which case they are become get a special brilliance. And that was my consideration of artificial intelligence, is the head of the Fed.
Well, as our friend of the show, Rick Ackerman, likes to point out, AI, well, just think of autocorrect on your cell phone and look at all the mistakes it makes. It assumes things that you don't want to say and or changes things that you wanted to say, and you send it and it's too late to fix the change and people get the wrong impression. Now, he said that's been around for a long time and it can't get things straight. Do you think AI is going to be the solution to everything? Of course not. But employers are looking at it as a way to replace people. And if you have mediocre employees, I guess a mediocre computer can replace them. But the inventor of the AI, a Canadian citizen, by the way, shared the Nobel Prize on this. And he said the problem with AI is it can hallucinate.
And isn't that a remarkable statement? It can hallucinate, yeah.
And it gets into what you call a positive feedback loop. So worse something gets, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
It's like a sinking boat. The more water comes in, the more water comes in.
Yeah, positive feedback loops always blow up. They run to blow up, whereas something that corrects normally reaches an excess and then corrects is overall, over a period of time, much more stable. But the other one, it just self-feeds until it blows up.
And, of course, one of the problems with a hallucinating AI, you put it in charge. We want to solve world hunger. And instead of coming up with ways to improve food production and distribution, it decides, well, why don't we just kill off two-thirds of humanity?
I guess it would.
Yes. Well, that's very logical. Just, you know, get rid of the cause of hunger, which is people. If there aren't people, then there's no more hunger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So look out for AI. Folks, you're going to regret letting a robot take over the job of, just look at.
There's been intellectuals throughout history that somehow can't stand people. And it'll be a much better world when we get rid of many of them.
Yeah, well, look at Karl Marx and Lenin. Yeah, nice theory. Doesn't work, especially when you treat people like crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, we have another headline here. Goldman rides credit boom to lift goal in $3 trillion asset unit.
Yep, they're running an asset unit that is now up to $3 trillion. It is staggeringly huge. Of course, what makes it staggeringly huge is that the central bankers have been providing endless amounts of currency and credit for a long time, and the street will always decide. Now the central bankers have got this idea that if you expand credit, it stimulates the economy, but they don't understand the financial markets. And when it's time for a speculative stock market, the money will go there. The public decides it, and this is where we are. And then when it burns out and crashes, the money just sort of disappears. And there's been a number of articles written about that. The academic economists get very perplexed about how the money disappears. And it just does. So... Yeah.
Well, the financial, if you want to stimulate your economy, the government should sponsor Taylor Swift, because every city where she holds a concert will pull in like $13-15 million per show. So, and she's also now being credit for reviving the F1 race circuit in the U.S. About a dozen years ago, they brought her in for an F1 race because their ticket sales were lagging, and all of a sudden, all these women and families showed up to come see the Formula One race because Taylor Swift was part of the package.
Follow her singing. Yeah. I don't know who her hits are, but I have a serious problem with a woman who performs on a stage in a one-piece bathing suit. I just don't get it.
You want the two-piece?
No. Don't perform in a bathing suit. I don't get it.
They're going for the show, the thrill. Apparently, it's a great show, and she's a very generous person. She gave $5 million to hurricane relief. And what impressed me before Christmas, she gave her truck drivers $100,000 bonuses and her backup singers and dancers similar bonuses as well.
Wonderful. That's great. Yeah.
Opposite of David Bowie, who is notoriously cheap. And Peter Frampton was his lead guitarist on his Glass Spiders tour. And he quit because he learned he was only being paid scale by Bowie, who watched the bottom line like a hawk.
Yeah, so sometimes
rock stars can be a little too cheap.
I think so.
Now, Costco members were buying gold wafers whenever they could. Now they're buying platinum. Should you?
I think what has happened there is Costco wisely, it was a year or so ago, came out with a small gold wafers and probably providing them a very competitive markup. And I think it was a good idea. When it came out then, it wasn't a peaking market for gold, and we didn't take it as a sign of public buying, therefore peak. No, it was just Costco providing a service. Now, I just don't see it for platinum. Platinum just doesn't have it as far as being an attractive precious metal. Although, you know, up on the Tuolumne River, close to Princeton here in southern British Columbia, it was one of the very few placer operations where there was platinum nuggets in the gravels, along and separately gold nuggets as well. And so that alluvial platinum is very unusual. And it is also, I don't see this being a big deal at all. But I thought the headline was interesting.
From CNBC, weekly mortgage demand tanks 17%.
Yeah. Yeah, the public's getting turned off on the housing boom. So, and that drop like that in mortgages is really quite soon. You're getting these, the bulls may say that the U.S. economy is not in a recession. But when you get certain price series like this, I've collected a few, and they're plunging or getting smashed. And this one was down 17%. Well, I'd call that is that a smash or a plunge?
Well, Ted Dixon, another friend of the show, said, okay, Canada technically is not in recession. You know, the GDP manages to creep a little higher. So that means the big boys are doing well. But he said when it comes to a personal basis, most Canadians are in recession. Things are unaffordable. They're finding it hard to put food on the table and pay rent. Now, my question, Bob, for you is a mortgage an investment or is it a debt?
Oh, it's a debt. And the point in going into a long post-bubble contraction is to have a minimal amount of debt and as much liquidity as possible. And you know what we like in the liquidity department, everybody should be the safest, a relatively safe place out there is 3 to 4 year good grade corporate bonds. You can get some interest yield out of it, and the chances of getting whipsawed in price are not that great, because say you buy a 3-year, in 3 years' time it matures at par. So it's really good. And then for Canadians, if you're buying U.S. Corporate bonds, then you're getting paid in U.S. dollars, and that's always a happy circumstance. So, no, it may seem like a boring position, but if you go to deposits and T-bills and stuff like that, many short-term instruments are going to go to zero again, whereas if you've got a decent yield locked in on a 3- or 4-year corporate bond, hey, that's not a bad return at all. And as I said, the price fluctuations won't kill you.
Another headline from Reuters. IMF says global public debt to top $100 trillion.
Yeah. Yeah. Big numbers. Big numbers.
Now, Bob, after the Second World War, didn't they forgive a lot of national debts and just start from zero again?
Oh, I think many were, and especially foreign debts. And then I remember something in Canada in the 50s where Canada had been shipping grain to communist Russia, and getting paid was very doubtful. So, yeah. Anyways.
And now, do you think that's going to happen? Because there's no way the U.S. can pay off its debt, because its interest payments are in trillions of dollars now.
Oh, yeah. No, it becomes very, very difficult. And there are four identifying features that cover the transition from a great bubble to a great bust. And all four, I keep track of them, they're online for a contraction. And one of them is that real long interest rates go up, and the 10-year U.S. is up by about 3 percentage points. It's been a little difficult out there. People have complained. But the typical increase has been 10 percentage points on the full move, which is a disaster. Gold's real price goes up. That is happening. And the senior currency becomes firm. That's happening. And then copper's real price gets weak, and that's happening. So all four features are tracking that we are in the transition from a great financial boom to a great financial bust. It's nice to be methodical about these things.
Bob, is there a way to help recession-proof yourself?
No debt.
Well, it's pretty simple.
Yep.
Well, buy things the old-fashioned way. Save up for it.
Oh, wouldn't that be something? Yeah.
Or here's something I did with a company that was saying this TV set, just $500, normally $600. If you buy it now and there's no payments for a year, but then I find out when the payments start, it goes to a finance company that's charging 30% interest.
Oh, I'm sure that something like that is going on, yeah.
Yeah, so you save $50 a month, and then right when that money is due, the day before, I went in and paid cash. And they were so upset because they wouldn't get a commission from the financing company.
Yeah.
So, folks, really, you can get what you want. It's not unattainable. Just have a little patience.
Yeah.
Yeah. But somebody said, if you gave up Starbucks, could you save enough money for a mortgage? And I said, well, it's not impossible. A friend gave up smoking. This is back in the 90s. He was smoking 3 packs a day, costing him $15 at the time. That's about the price of one pack now. But he stopped smoking, and he saved the money that he would have spent on smoking, and in 3 years he bought a sailboat.
That's outstanding. Now, also, I believe these Starbucks coffees, the special coffees, they can be sort of in the order of $10 or something like that. So,
oh, yeah. I saw an article in USA Today. The markup on a Starbucks chocolate latte is 1,760%. About the same amount the water expands when it boils and turns to steam.
Yeah. Well, that's from the raw materials in order to make one of them into the assembly and then this huge markup, yeah.
So again, yeah, learn how to use a tea kettle.
a taste for coffee, nor tea, and for a while I was doing hot chocolates when necessary, and they were okay, but then now I don't do chocolate anymore. I keep drinking bottles of water on the counter, and they're at room temperature, and I quite enjoy a good hit of water.
Yeah, a good hit.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Hydrophobia. Oh, no, that's rabies.
Yeah.
You'd think hydrophobia would be fear of water, but it's rabies instead. Now, yeah. Bob, it's always fun chatting with you. And speaking of high-risk storms, Vancouver is supposed to get a Category 3 atmospheric river. The north shore of Vancouver to get 100 millimeters, or let's put it just bluntly, 1 meter of rain. That's a hell of a lot of rain.
Yeah. Now, ironically, down below me here, looking out, I look over the beautiful botanical gardens, part of the University of BC, and they've got tents and marquees and drink stations set up because it's the Apple Festival this weekend. And it's not going to be a happy apple festival this weekend, I would think, with deluge of rain coming. So, however, I'll just
and it's election day in Vancouver.
See what happens.
And it's election day in BC as we're expecting this semi monsoon to hit.
Yeah.
So vote early. I won't add the term and vote often. But
I knew you were reaching for that.
I know. Have a great weekend, Bob.
Yeah,
stay dry.
Yeah, good to be with you.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.